Chapter 14. I didn't stop walking until I'd made it outside of the academy's doors, and the winter chill only made me feel more irate as it blew against my face. What in the fuck had just happened in there? My vision was tinted red as my feet carried me forward, and as I charged on, I became aware of voices behind me.
Griff!
I heard Nia plead.
Come back! Come on, Griffy!
Layla called out, and her voice was laced with concern.
Don't run off!
Please stop, Varlith urged. Griff, I get you're angry, but running away won't solve anything.
Griff, you have to be rational,
Gawain started.
Everyone needs to stop telling me what I need to do,
I shouted back over my shoulder, and my temples throbbed from the exertion. Then the sound of footsteps behind me ceased, and I used that opportunity to rush away. I couldn't bring myself to face my friends and lovers. My teammates had done little to help, and not one of them stood up for me, despite their prior urgings that they had my back no matter what. Varlith attempted, but not as much as he could have. Layla, despite her spunk and tenacity, couldn't stand up to the Grand Mage. Gawain could only do it through glances, and Aaron was never one to stir up negativity and trouble. And Nia? I couldn't expect her to go up against her father, especially since they'd finally mended their once broken relationship. But I shook those thoughts away. There was no time to be petty and spiteful. I needed to act fast. If Sleet and Galahar weren't willing to fight, I would have to handle it myself. Well, myself plus the 5 monster goddesses I had under my control. So I reached deep within my consciousness and summoned Sarah with a wave of my will.
Yes, Griff?
Sarah yawned.
What can I help you with? Have a few more damsels to rescue? It's quite early for another impossible mission, isn't it?
I need you and your Snap Darner, I commanded. I need a creature that can travel a good distance but won't deplete my mana in the meantime.
The Snap Darner will be perfect for that, Sarah cooed.
Then call it forward. I have somewhere to be, and I need to escape as quickly as possible in order to pull it off. I could feel the Arkan's smile as the gleeful aura of it spread throughout my mind.
As you wish, Master.
A tingle ran through my body as Sarah's tattoos slithered off my shoulder blades, and suddenly, the dark-winged goddess stood before me. The beautiful Arkan's pitch-black hair flared about her as her cat-like yellow eyes blinked at the daylight, and her large black-feathered wings unfurled as she stretched out her lean, pale body. The black cloth she wore barely covered her perfect body, and my eyes fell to her magnificent breasts before I could stop myself. Sarah caught me, and the Arkan seemed amused by the appraisal I'd tried so hard to sneak. Then, with a flick of Sarah's delicate wrist, the Snap Darner appeared. Without hesitation, I swung my leg over and mounted the dragonfly-like creature with ease. Then I felt Sarah climb on behind me, and her arms snaked around my torso as we settled in. The Arkan's scent was musky and enticing, and for a moment I found myself distracted by the sexy perfume and Sarah's hardened nipples against my back, but I managed to gather myself long enough to consider my actions.
Where are we going, Master?
She purred into my ear, and her breath was hot against my skin. The dark-winged goddess knew exactly what she was doing, and I had to remind myself to behave before she got out of control. As close to Adorna as we can get, I said as I cleared my throat. I won't be able to make it all the way there, but we need to get as close as possible. No one wants to help, so we're going after the herd ourselves.
Excellent, Master, she whispered. This is definitely the right decision.
Then the Snap Darner began to beat its enormous iridescent wings, and with a buzz, the creature took off into the sky. As the dragonfly monster soared higher and higher, realization of my actions washed over me. I was disobeying direct orders. And while I'd never been a stickler for the rules, something about this decision was far more ballsy than any other I'd made. And really, I had no plan other than to get to the forest, sneak up to the herd, kick some monster ass, and then get out. It was the type of plan Layla and Aaron would appreciate, but the others would absolutely hate, especially Nia. Nia. I knew my wife would be upset, but once the Arkans and I defeated the herd, she would understand why I had to disobey her father and the headmaster. Varley became a speck in the dust as we soared toward the clouds, but the brilliant orange walls of the Enclave and the white marble of the Academy continued to rise up with us. From this vantage, it was hard to concern myself with the safety of the Enclave alone. Varley's impressive walls were known to be the largest in the world, and yet, Sleet and Galahar were overly concerned for its safety. The herd was massive. There was no denying that, but the walls would not fall away as easily as the mages implied. There was no way the Enclave was as vulnerable as they believed. Finally, the glittering orange structure became a blur as we struck mist and found ourselves amongst the clouds. I shivered at the cold, and Sarah pressed tighter against me. I tried to inch away, but the Arkan's grip against my waist was strong.
"You're so brave,"
Sarah whispered into my ear.
"I'm glad you finally came to your senses. You don't need the rest of your humans. They are only holding you back. Once you decimate this herd, they will have no choice but to make you their ruler."
"That's not how this world works, and you know it." I rolled my eyes at the dark winged goddess. "But even if it was, that's not what I want anyways. I'm not looking for glory."
"Even if that isn't what you seek, it will find you,"
Sarah replied simply, and I could feel the shrug of her shoulders as she moved against my back.
"You are not like other men, Griff."
"I just want to do what I intended to do from the beginning. Keep the citizens of the wilds safe," I reminded her with an even tone. "I might have 2 years of education at the academy under my belt, but I'm a wildsman through and through." Sarah remained silent, but the Arkan didn't lose her hold on me, and we continued the ride in silence for nearly 2 hours. Things were peaceful for a long while as we rode, almost calm enough to forget the reason I was skyward in the first place. But as Sarah's cheek leaned against me, I remembered and refocused. Finally, I leaned forward on the snapdarner until the Arkan no longer touched me.
"You're no fun,"
Sarah grumbled as I felt her lean back. "I need to start devising a plan," I said as an excuse to change the tone. "I left Sleet's office without one, and since we have a good amount of time, I might as well start to formulate a strategy."
"Destroy those in your path," Sarah suggested with a chilling laugh. "There, strategy provided."
The dark-winged Arkan then ran her cold hands up my chest and onto my shoulders, but I stiffened at her touch. "That's not quite what I had in mind," I sighed. "I need a more specific battle plan."
"Perhaps the others can help with that," she whispered back. "Later. For now, I want you for myself."
She rubbed against me, and my heart throbbed as I imagined the sight of her breasts. "Actually, speaking with the other Arkans isn't a bad suggestion," and Sarah's soft hand stopped in place.
"But, Master..."
"Thank you for the idea, Sarah," I grinned, and I reached deep into my mind to unlock the cages of the other four monster goddesses. Then I set the Arkans loose in my consciousness, and I could feel and hear their stretches and their groans as they were unpacked.
"Hello, Master,"
Mira Lee purred. Ever the child, Fi let out an exaggerated groan.
"Ugh, I've been so bored."
"Sorry," I apologized, though I didn't entirely mean it.
"I'm glad you've decided
to follow your instincts and track the herd yourself,
Utuni said with a condescending laugh.
Your beloved friends and lovers don't have your best interests in mind.
They truly don't, Master,
Fi scoffed.
Especially your women. Talk about an undeserving group of humans.
Don't you dare say that about my women, I growled at the goddesses. They aren't undeserving in the slightest.
If they respect you as much as you claim, you would have defeated the herd yesterday and wouldn't have to fly all the way back out just to handle it,
Fi interjected.
She's right, you know,
Mira Lee added.
I don't need your help, Mira Lee,
Fi snapped.
Well, excuse me,
the cat goddess huffed. Okay, okay, no fighting, I said firmly. Then I sent a nonverbal command for them to halt, and once the energy stopped moving about my mind, I continued on. Nia and I discussed it last night. Her decision had nothing to do with distrusting me or disrespecting me. I can't blame her for her decision, though admittedly, I brushed her off as I left.
You say she trusts you, and yet, during that meeting, she couldn't even stand up for you?
Viopa pointed out.
You, her husband, the human woman insists on bonding with you for life. She begs to carry your child like we do, but yet she cannot defend you in a matter where you are absolutely correct.
I don't expect her to fight her father, I snapped back at the shape-shifting Arkan.
Grand Mage Kennefic,
Fi snorted.
Another spineless loser who doesn't care for his people in the way he should.
Pitiful excuse of a mage,
Utuni agreed.
He's despicable, really.
The Grand Mage really isn't too grand, is he?
Viopa chimed in, and she sounded a little too cheerful as she said it.
That's my father-in-law you're talking about, I growled. He deserves a little more credit than that.
I know we don't see eye to eye on the handling of this matter, but I refuse to believe he's some villain. We just disagree on this because he isn't from the wilds.
I have to save my people.
We must have caught him on an off day, because the man I saw before us earlier was utterly weak and childish,
Sarah observed from behind me.
But then again, vast spreads of lands occupied by farmers and working-class citizens don't entertain someone like Grand Mage Kennefic. Laborers are not held in the highest esteem, so Kennefic doesn't care about their wellness. People born of privilege don't bother themselves with the concerns of people without. It's human nature, and it's disgusting.
I took a breath and focused on the sky around me for a moment. I was unsure of how to respond because I honestly didn't know how to feel about it myself. I couldn't condemn Galahar as a person, but his actions still betrayed my positive view of the man essentially in charge of Mistral.
He's manipulating you, Master,
Viopa mused,
attempting to bend you to his will, so one day, when you come into your full potential, he will have you on his side.
My full potential? I wondered. What did the Arkan mean by that remark? Was that a reference to the Beastmaker prophecy? I knew the monster goddesses knew more than they were letting on. But were they about to finally reveal the information? Sarah tutted, and I sensed her face draw nearer to my neck.
We haven't forgotten the deal, Master. No children, no information.
The Arkan's teeth tugged on my earlobe, and I inhaled sharply at the gesture. Maker, why did everything have to be so complicated with them?
The Grand Mage insists on making you his advisor, and yet won't take any of your advice,
Viopa pointed out.
Is that not curious?
He asked me to consider it once I've graduated from the academy. I brought up as I tried to relax from Sarah's hold. I'm still a student, so I wouldn't be able to step into the position until then anyways.
And what happens in the meantime?
Utuni asked.
He gets to push you around, mess with your mind, make you think one thing is one way, when it is, in fact, another. Meringer Sleet is no better than Kinnifik either. Another coward who prefers to be hidden away rather than help his students.
Mira Lee agreed with the Snake Goddess.
That old man should listen to and honor your advice.
Sarah scoffed into my ear.
Weak, jealous,
just like the others.
The old man's time is waning, so he is taking his frustrations out on a much younger, much more powerful mage in order to feel better about himself. Sleet is neither weak nor powerless, I growled. He's my mentor and took me under his wing when... Fi let out another exaggerated groan.
Master, must we go back and forth about these things? When will you open up those gorgeous eyes of yours and see Sleet has only ever used you for his own personal gain? He took advantage of you in Raylor's stead all that time ago. He witnessed you defeating the Cyclops in the village. A mage of his grandeur should have had no difficulty ending that monster's life all on his own. But he let you, a stranger and a summoner to boot, fight instead?
It only became worse once he discovered your abilities, Sarah added.
True,
Utuni chimed in. Sarah rested her head on my shoulder.
He asked you to join the academy so he could exploit you, use you to teach what he could not.
And that's not to mention all of the lies he's told you,
Fi continued.
Indeed, the lies,
Mira Lee said in agreement.
The countless disgusting lies. He's assured you the researchers are fine, and yet they return in worse and worse shape every time they're sent away. He's instructed that team to keep secrets from you.
They wouldn't even tell you about your own parents' names in the Guardian's books,
Sarah whispered into my ear, and I froze. She had a point there. All of this time had passed, and yet Sleet and the others hadn't uttered a word to me about my parents. Don't want to rush them, I said. I know they'll tell me in time, and there has to be a perfectly good explanation as to why they won't let me in.
What kind of a man, especially a mentor, keeps that kind of incredible information away from his student?
Viopa scoffed.
It's entirely messed up,
Mira Lee giggled.
You can't fool us, not one little bit. You do wish to rush them. You wish for them to open up and tell you everything, but they will not, no matter how much you beg, because they are completely devoted to that headmaster and his insistence on keeping you out of the loop.
Even your lovers, the red-headed buxom one and the dark-skinned one with the lovely braids.
Sarah purred, and her voice was like a caress against me.
Both of those human women are pretty, but like most pretty things, they are weak. How can a lover deprive another of such essential information just to please an old mage?
Why would someone who cares keep a secret like parents away from offspring?
Fi added.
Who does that other than weak men? Human men disgust me. All except for you, Master,
Utuni clarified.
You are so much more than Kinnifik or Sleet,
Viopa stated.
And that's why they go after you. You are everything they are not. He claims he can tell you the information you seek because of us. But face it, Griff,
Sarah continued.
It isn't because of us. It's because of how he sees you. He sees this confident, gorgeous young man who is self-assured and wonderful. And he can't stand his jealousy.
Very messed up, Master.
Fi scoffed.
We would never keep something like that away from you forever.
You all haven't been very informative when it comes to any of that, I said flatly. Not one of you will give me any information about my heritage unless I give you children.
Why are you so against reproducing with us?
Viopa wondered.
We only seek to give you strong children worthy of your bloodline.
One would think you would be more open to the idea, since two of your human women are swollen with your offspring,
Utuni griped.
Think of the children we could have together,
Miralee sighed dreamily.
Envision them. Beautiful, strong, they would be able to aid you in battle long before your human children ever could. Incapacities your human offspring will never have.
Sure, your mages may be able to offer you magic to pass on to your spawn, but what we can give your children is so much more.
Fi promised, and then uttered a girlish giggle. I agreed to impregnate one of you, but not all of you, I stated clearly. We had a deal about that. Surely we aren't going to go in circles about this again.
But think of the army we could build together. The six of us,
Viopa uttered.
Demigods, each and every one of our children. They will grow up to rule and conquer all as they see fit. Doesn't that just sound divine?
It sounds lovely to me,
Miralee sighed.
I wish to have your delicious seed, Griff. My womb requires it.
And so does mine,
Fi agreed.
And mine,
Utuni chimed in. Maker, I couldn't do this any longer. Suddenly, the Snapdarner began to lose altitude, which thankfully pulled me away from my conversation with the Arkans. I could feel my mana levels had sunk a bit, and I needed a breather before we continued on.
But Master!
Fi protested, but I was ready for some quiet for a bit. So I concentrated carefully, and the wards snapped back into place and shut out the voices of the Arkans. Finally. Then we dropped down lower, and I began to recognize the pine-filled forest bordering us. We weren't quite at Adorna yet, but I estimated we were about an hour or so away based on the tree line. I commanded the Snapdarner to take us down further, and I had to grip the side of the creature with white knuckles in order to keep from falling off the insectoid beast.
What are you doing, Master?
Sarah asked behind me as her nails tightened into my torso. Landing here, I answered matter-of-factly. We're fairly close to Adorna, but I need to take a break before we get there.
Is it wise to land?
Sarah questioned, and her voice was confused.
You're strong, Master. Can't you last until we're closer?
It's wiser to land now intentionally, rather than land because I crashed us, I replied. I need to take a rest. With that sentiment, we descended, and I landed the Snapdarner to the ground. Once the creature was settled, I broke away from Sarah's grasp and dismounted. I recognized the area from mine and Nia's initial carriage ride, and I surveyed the hilly forest landscape with a fondness for a moment. It was in this area that Nia had started to snore as she dreamt on my shoulder, and I remembered how hard I had tried not to laugh at the unexpected sound from my elegant wife. I'd managed to remain silent, though, and Nia slept through the ride over the uneven terrain. The honeymoon, the single day of it, had been weeks ago, and it had been a wonderful memory until the Ven Crimsel showed up to taint it. I silently cursed the giant monster, and I vowed to use my irritation as a way to focus myself on the task ahead. I owed it to not only the people of the wilds, but to Nia and myself to defeat this herd and regain a bit of normalcy. Once they were defeated, I would whisk Nia away for another mini-vacation before school resumed again. I owed her that much after everything she'd been through.
So, what are we doing now, Master?
Sarah sighed as she raked a blue-tinged white hand through her white tangled dark hair. I need to recharge for a moment, I said, which means I need you to return.
Ugh, must I?
The dark-winged Arkin protested, but before she could convince me to let her stay with me, I sent a wave of my will, and the goddess dissipated into shadowy smoke and settled back onto my body. My skin itched for a moment as the tattoos returned, but once it subsided, I felt like I could breathe again. The Snapdarner followed suit, and I let out a sigh of relief once I was finally alone. While the Arkans had brought up some interesting points, having five opinionated voices around me was overwhelming to say the least. And my head was so filled with so much information, I was close to exploding. So I gathered myself and found a patch of ground beside a tree that didn't have any snow, and I sat down at the base of the trunk. Then I closed my eyes and forced myself to focus on the sound of the breeze, the rustle of limbs, the far-off chirps of birds, and anything to help me center myself. I took relaxing breaths and sat there, present in the moment, until my lungs and head felt less rushed. I wasn't sure how long I'd sat there, but once I felt steady enough, I rose and reached into my bandolier. Then I retrieved the essence crystal of my speed slug and crushed it in my hand. I summoned my Vinghund immediately after. I borrowed the pale blue wings of the Vinghund, and as they sprouted from my back, I placed the slug on my shoulder. I'd had more than enough of the Arkans, and needed a mode of transportation that allowed me some time to myself. After I stretched out my new appendages, I beat my wings and soared through the sky with my Vinghund trailing behind me. I relished the excitement of flying for a moment before I forced myself to get serious. Then I wove in and out of the pines, and as I traveled forward, the ground beneath me appeared snowier, which told me I was near the Forest of Adorna. Thank the Maker! I sighed aloud to no one as I observed the emerald green pines, the lilac gray mountains, and the rocky terrain below me. Finally, I'd made it. I utilized the speed enhancement to accelerate my pace until I reached the familiar tree line of the Adornian Forest, and the expansive woods almost felt like a home away from home after I'd been here so many times within the past month. Then I landed gracefully and decided to take the rest of the trip on foot. Flying would be much faster, but I was used to navigating the trail on the ground. So I recalled my Vinghund and speed slug, and once the wings disappeared and my monsters vanished, I began to meander down the trail. As I wound through the dense forest, I tried my hand at mental battle strategy, and I thought about all of the combinations of monsters I would need in order to take on the herd. This type of battle would require me to pull out all of the stops. The Arkans and their creatures, my most powerful monsters, the Barroker, maybe even the Belial, and if things got too out of control, my Sun Giant. I wished I'd had enough time to see Meriden before I'd left. I hadn't thought to pack any of her disgusting yet helpful potions, and I could use all of the mana I could get if I was going to summon my most powerful creatures. The last thing I needed was mana depletion mid-battle. The unnatural silence of the forest still filled me with dread, which only increased as I neared the location of the monsters. My heart rate sped up with every step closer, and a lump grew in my throat. I was doing this. I was challenging an entire horde of enormous grade B, possibly even grade A monsters. Finally, the thicket came into view. I took my breaths as I approached, and I stepped as lightly as possible to avoid making too much noise. The last thing I needed to do was blow my cover before I even made it there. Once I was at the opening in the bush, I placed my hand on my bandolier and touched my essence crystals in preparation. My strategy would depend on the number and type of creatures I would be facing, and I wanted to get a better look at the herd before I stormed in. While we'd spotted 15 monsters, that number easily changed, so I needed to take a head count from the safety of my hidden spot. I steadied myself, and then glanced through the thicket to the field ahead. But once I did, my blood ran cold. The field, once filled with the enormous monsters, was entirely empty, and if it weren't for the battered trees around the area, it would appear as if there had never been any monsters there to begin with. No giant lizards, cloud masses, or faceless nightmares. Only an empty field. Where are they? I asked aloud. I felt a quiver through my consciousness as the Arkans pushed through. Then the Arkans shrugged in my mind's eye, and the monster goddess's casual expressions irked me deeply. Where are they? I demanded, and then I sunk to my knees on the snow-dusted ground.
I am sorry, Master, Sarah murmured. I do not know where they have taken off.
Fuck! I groaned and shook my head. The Arkans' constant chatter had allowed me to lose track of what was important, the monsters. The herd was likely off destroying a town by now.
I might have a solution, Master, Sarah proposed.
And what's that? I snapped at the Arkan. I wasn't in the mood for tricks or reproduction proposals.
Why not try the Shadowscape? The monsters may have fled there.
The Shadowscape, I repeated dully. We can open up a portal, travel through, locate the monsters, and destroy them before they can return to Mistral. For a moment, I considered the idea. It wasn't necessarily a bad decision, but there were too many risk factors involved. Time worked differently in the Shadow Dimension, and there was a very real possibility I could be lost for days, months, even years. And since I hadn't told anyone where I was... No, I couldn't do that to my friends and lovers. Friends aside, the Shadowscape was not a place to navigate alone, even with the monsters and goddesses under my command. If I were to enter the Shadow Dimension, I would need my team. I relayed my thoughts to Sarah, and I could feel the Arkan's irritation flood my consciousness.
Why are you still siding with them? She groaned. I'm offering you a great solution.
Because they're my team. That's just how it works, I replied, and I devised a new strategy to find the herd. It had been 2 days since we'd first stumbled upon them. They could be anywhere in Mistral by now. So I retrieved a gray-green wing-shaped crystal from my bandolier, summoned my pyreworm, and mounted the serpentine creature. Once I was settled, it took to the sky, and the next 2 hours or so, I rode the pyreworm in silence and kept my eyes glued to the ground below. I flew high enough to easily see activity beneath me, but I used the clouds as cover so the herd wouldn't be able to detect us. The wind whipped around me as we soared, and the cold air kept me focused. I checked everywhere around Adorna, but the ground was clear of monsters. The pyreworm and I even scoped out the nearby areas, but nothing, not a single sign of the megas. Eventually, sweat covered my forehead, and I started to run out of steam. I was low on options, and the megas were nowhere to be found. I briefly reconsidered Sarah's Shadowscape proposal and weighed the pros and cons, but shot that down immediately and kept to my convictions. I needed to go back to Varlay. So I wiped the sweat from my brow and summoned another speed slug, and the pyreworm and I flew back toward home. As we tore through the clouds, I kept my eyes peeled just in case, and I ran through what I would say once I was reunited with Sleet and my team. While I was still frustrated, I couldn't hold on to that negativity any longer. I needed them. I would likely face punishment from the headmaster, but I had to accept the consequences of my actions. As time went by and the snow-covered land gave way to a plush green landscape, my surroundings grew familiar, and I knew Varlay was close ahead. My body ached from the ride, and my mana had dipped down, but I needed to persist just a little longer. Then I began to see orange walls on the horizon, and I let out a long sigh. Suddenly, I became aware of strange sounds off in the distance, and I craned my neck around. Where were they coming from? The noises were garbled, a weird symphony of hisses and roars and squawks that echoed through the air. Then my heart dropped as I recognized the noise. Oh, fuck! They were the sounds of monsters. As soon as the thought struck me, I spied a large dark mass in the distance, and it moved forward at a steady pace.
Fly faster, I commanded the pyreworm. We need to catch up to whatever that is.
The shadow-winged monster picked up speed, and soon the details of the mass became more pronounced. My heart sank as I took in the sight of the herd. 15 in all, each far larger than any monster I was used to fighting. They left a cloud of dust in their wake as they walked, and it coated my nose as I followed behind them. From the thicket, the monster army hadn't looked all that impressive, but here, out in the open, the creatures were intimidating in every way possible as they moved forward. They formed a wall of impenetrable limbs and teeth, and even my pyreworm stiffened beneath me. Fuck! I breathed in as I looked beyond the group of enormous creatures and realized their intended destination. They were heading straight for Varlay.